This is the Paula Gordon Show. We are delighted that Dr. Connie Smalljohn is with us. Bill Russell is here, too, and we're all in Taos, New Mexico, talking about viruses and vaccines. Let's go back to hantaviruses. This sounds pretty sci-fi-ish to most people. Tell us about hantaviruses.
Well, and it's interesting that we're in Taos because the initial outbreaks that we're aware of
in the United States occurred
in this general area. But you're telling me it happened somewhere else before.
Oh, yeah. We've been working on hantaviruses since about 1980, and these are hantaviruses that are in Asia and Europe. Even now, there's over 100,000 cases of disease caused by hantaviruses in China every year, through Europe, Western Russia. And these hantaviruses are a little bit different than ours here in that they cause a kidney disease rather than a lung disease.
How is a hantavirus different than any other virus?
Hantaviruses belong to a family of viruses that are called the Bunyaviridae. And
oh, I'm so glad I asked.
These particular viruses are RNA viruses, as are a lot of the worst viruses that infect people. And this particular class of viruses has a specific genome of three pieces that make them up in a protein coat around them. And that's how generally viruses are classified, based on what their genes are and what their proteins are. And the hantaviruses that are in the old world, they're called the old world hantaviruses, are like ours here. They're carried by rodents. And all hantaviruses are carried by persistently infected rodents. They don't make their host sick at all. So they live quite well with rodents around the world. And every hantavirus we know about has its own rodent. And it's probably evolved with that rodent over millions of years. So that's why it's so adapted to that particular host. And when people get infected with it, it's an accidental exposure. I mean, it's no good for the virus to infect and kill people. They would be happy to hang out in their rodents. So there are several different hantaviruses in the old world. There's four of them that we know of that cause human disease. The ones in Asia are the worst. And that's where the name Hantan comes from. Hantan virus was found in Korea, and it's named after the Hantan River in Korea, which is separating the north and south of Korea. And that came from a field mouse as well, a different field mouse than the ones we have hantaviruses here. And the hantaviruses in the old world aren't as lethal as ours in the new world, where we're talking about 50% of people die that get the ones here in the United States and in South America. It's between 1% and 10% for the four hantaviruses that are in Europe and Asia. Mm. But they can still cause huge outbreaks. In Western Russia in the last 2 years, there were over 40,000 cases of a hantavirus infection. And when the people are very sick and they have renal failure, it's just that they don't die routinely like they do here.
Yeah. When you're talking about people getting sick with a virus, it's not just the person who gets sick. There are huge wave effects of all of the other things, in addition to the guy who feels really miserable even if he doesn't die. You're talking about the families. You're talking about the work that does and does not get done. You're talking about all of the public health stuff that goes around it. When you get massive infections like that, mm-hmm. aren't there just all kinds of other implications as well as just some really sick people?
Oh, I'm sure there are. And it's a, especially when you're in an area that's already economically depressed and you have, you know, these people have to go to work or they don't have food to eat. And in China, this was considered one of their most important diseases, and they've put a lot of research effort into making vaccines for the two viruses that are in Asia. And they are two of the worst as well. I mean, Hantan virus is the highest mortality. And it's very interesting that recently, only within less than 10 years, we found a virus that was very similar to Hantan virus in the Balkan countries, in Slovenia down through Greece. And an investigator named Tatiana Auschich discovered this virus in a different field mouse. And now we know it has almost as high a mortality as the ones that were in Asia. So we used to think this was an Asian problem. And we knew there was the mild form in Scandinavia and Northern Europe. But now we know there's also the severe forms in the Balkan countries. And that's one of the things we were worried about with our soldiers going to that part of the world when the Croatian and all of that problem was going on.
And to be clear about this, and since you're dealing with it, it presumably is an infectious disease, which means when someone gets it, then there's a real potential that other people, caregivers...
Hantaviruses are not person-to-person transmitted.
Really?
That people get them from only by inhaling aerosols from rodents' urine or feces or saliva, and possibly by being bitten, but that's not very common. There's only been one instance of a hantavirus that's known to have been transmitted from person to person, and that's in South America, in Argentina. The hantavirus known as Andes virus in two separate incidences was found that it did go from person to person. And that was very scary because these aren't viruses you want to go person to person.
Well, that take us into the lives of people where you would be inhaling the feces and the urine of rodents. You'd think that that was a third world developing nation circumstance, but not necessarily.
No. People here, and it can be people that have summer cottages, and that's what it is a lot. They've boarded them up for the winter, come back, they're going to open them up for their summer vacation in very nice areas. You know, in the wilderness, they have this nice cottage. And they've had rodent infestations while they were gone. And they go and start cleaning, sweeping up the rodent feces and all, and that's when they get it.
Mouse droppings is what I was raised to call it.
Yeah, yep.
But that can be any place. That can be
sure.
That can be in the middle of a big city. That can be in the country.
Well, that's one very interesting and puzzling thing about hantaviruses is one of the common ones is in rats, the brown and black rats that are everywhere in every port city. And this virus, Seoul virus, because it was discovered in Seoul, Korea, does cause hemorrhagic fever with renal syndrome, which is the hantavirus disease of the old world. It's been known to cause those diseases in Korea, China. It's a big problem in China. Well, we have those viruses here in the United States, exactly the same virus as far as we can tell. And it's been found in Baltimore, Philadelphia, almost anywhere anybody's looked because it's in the rats. But we don't know a disease associated with it in the New World. So, and that's another puzzling thing. We don't know it. And I seriously doubt it's because we never come in contact with rats because if you look at pictures in Baltimore or Philadelphia, there's plenty of rats running around.
You know, in a sense, it sounds like good news that we don't have that disease. But as you say, the unknown, not knowing why it doesn't cause a disease means there's something you don't understand.
And you don't know that it couldn't cause
right.
a disease.
Right.
We were introduced by a fellow who had retired from the FBI, his name is Danny Coulson, who talked about the unk-unk. Now, the unk-unk doesn't mean anything until you know that it is the unknown unknown that'll get you. And it has raised my appreciation for what you do in the sciences. The unknown unknown has to keep you awake at night.
No, it's fun.
Well, and that's why you're in that field, isn't it?
Right.
I guess that's kind of back to the basic research question of going out looking for the unknown unknown before a bunch of men and women who are in the military get sick in a faraway country. That's pretty exciting.
Well, I think people in general like science when they're in science because there's always something new to do. You don't know what you're going to find out, and even if you think you know, you usually are wrong. So it's you don't go to work every day thinking that, I have to go and do the same thing again today.
Because it's never the same.
It's never the same.
When you talk about hemorrhagic fevers, I'm not sure we have said enough of what that is. A hemorrhagic fever is a very unpleasant experience, even if you survive it. So if you get this thing from a rodent in a big city in America or a rural community in a part of the world that people haven't necessarily been in for a long time, you're talking about very serious illness.
That's right. And with hemorrhagic fever with renal syndrome, the hantavirus disease, the hemorrhaging comes about as conjunctivitis. Your eyes get all red and you can get a rash. But that's not what kills a person. What kills them is renal failure and shock. And one of the big hallmarks of hantavirus infection is that your blood vessels leak and all of your fluids come out. You have capillary leakage and people actually drown in their own fluids. And I remember there was an episode on MASH once during the Korean War where Hawkeye discovers this patient who has a disease and they keep giving him fluid, but he isn't producing any urine and they discover that, well, we have to restrict fluids to make this person live. Well, that was hemorrhagic fever with renal syndrome.
Yeah. I don't want to get so far into how gory this all is before saying that you work on vaccines, particularly DNA vaccines, that can do something about this.
Right.
Which means that before you get sick with these terrible things, that you're developing vaccines.
That's right. That's our main purpose.
Well, this is good.
Yes, it is.
Let's at least get started on the idea of DNA vaccines. You were talking about RNA viruses, but if these are DNA vaccines, that seems to be different.
Well, DNA is the basic building block. It's the what we have in our chromosomes. That's the life of every type of animal that we know of. But DNA doesn't make the proteins that you need. The DNA has to be copied into its complement, which is RNA. And that happens in our bodies and animals, in bacteria, in all living systems. The RNA is what has the code for the proteins. So some viruses are DNA viruses, but others have skipped that step and just start right with the RNA. And those viruses we work on are RNA viruses. So all they do is go directly from their genome to the proteins.
You can tell me a great deal more about that, I am certain, when we come back. Our guest is Dr. Connie Smalljohn. She is with the United States Army Medical Research Institute for Infectious Diseases. Say it again.
USAMRIID.
USAMRIID. Bill Russell and I are delighted to have Dr. Smalljohn with us. We're all going to be back in just a moment with The Paula Gordon Show.